In this session, we will look at the rules for the taxation of dividends paid on or after the 1st of July 2009. The Finance Act 2009 brought in changes to the way that foreign profits are taxed in the UK. One of the major changes is the tax treatment of overseas dividends. Basically, with a few exceptions, dividends are exempt from UK taxation whether received from a UK company or an overseas company. There are special rules for small companies, which we will deal with next. And there are also anti-avoidance rules to prevent abuse of this exemption. A company is a small company in accounting period if it is a micro or small enterprise as defined in the Annex to Commission Recommendation 2003/361/EC of the 6th of May 2003. Open-ended investment companies, authorised unit trust schemes, insurance companies and friendly societies cannot qualify as small companies. Dividends received by small companies will be exempt if A. The payer is a resident of and only of the United Kingdom or a qualifying territory at the time that the distribution is received. A company must have only one place of residency. A company is a resident of a territory if, under the laws of the territory, the company is liable to tax there by reason of its domicile, residence, or place of management, but not because of income from sources in that territory or capital situated there. This definition of residence is in line with that used in the OECD model treaty. A qualifying territory is one where there is a double tax treaty with the UK, and that treaty includes a non-discrimination clause. B. The distribution is not of a kind mentioned in paragraph E or F of section 1000 subsection 1 of CTA 2010, certain non-dividend distributions. In other words, interest that is treated as a distribution. C. No deduction is allowed to a resident of any territory outside the United Kingdom under the law of that territory. And D. The distribution is not made as part of a tax advantage scheme. For all other companies, there are five exempt classes of distribution. As well as having to fall within one or more of these classes, the distribution must not be interest classed as distribution under section 1000 subsection 1, E or F of TIOPA 2010. Nor must it be a dividend that qualifies for a tax deduction in the territory where it is paid. When looking at interest treated as a distribution under section 1000 subsection 1 E or F of TIOPA 2010, the transfer pricing rules take priority. The five exempt classes are distributions from controlled companies. The definition of control here is that used for controlled foreign companies. We will look at this definition in a later session. There are rules to block avoidance schemes that seek to obtain exemption despite the fact that the CFC control rules did not apply at the time when the profits included in the dividend were earned. These rules only apply if there is a scheme or arrangement where a main purpose is to obtain the exemption. If the specific anti-avoidance rule here applies, it will not prevent a distribution from being exempt by virtue of any other class. The second category is distributions in respect of non-redeemable ordinary shares. An ordinary share means a share that does not carry any present or future preferential right to dividends or to a company's assets on its winding up. There is an anti-avoidance rule which will apply if there is a scheme or arrangement where a main purpose is to obtain the exemption. Where it applies, this rule prevents a distribution from being exempt by virtue of the non-redeemable ordinary shares exempt class. It will not prevent a distribution from being exempt by virtue of any other class. The third category is for distributions in respect of portfolio holdings. Portfolio holdings are defined as holdings that represent less than 10% of their class of share. The 10% limit must be met by reference to share capital, income rights, and capital rights. The exemption under this class will not apply if a shareholding that would be too large to qualify for the portfolio holdings exempt class is split between a number of connected companies in order that each company's holding falls below the 10% threshold. The fourth category is dividends derived from transactions not designed to reduce tax. To qualify under this heading, the dividend has to be paid out of relevant profits. This means that the profits must not be derived from transactions that achieve a UK tax advantage. If a company has any profits which are therefore derived from avoidance transactions, this exempt class will not be available and will remain unavailable until all those profits have been paid out as taxable dividends. However, once those avoidance profits have been fully paid out in taxable form, this exempt class will become available for any subsequent dividends paid from relevant profits, including the remaining part of a dividend that is paid partly but not wholly out of profits other than relevant profits. If a dividend is paid partly out of relevant profits and partly out of other profits, it is treated as two separate dividends. All profits earned from transactions that took place more than 12 months before the commencement date for the schedule, that is, before the 1st of July 2008, are relevant profits. The fifth category is dividends in respect of shares accounted for as liabilities. This gives exemption for distributions paid in respect of shares that would be taxed as loan relationships, except that they are not held for an unallowable purpose, and are consequently exempt from taxation under loan relationship rules. In addition to the specific anti-avoidance rules mentioned already for exempt classes 1 to 3, there are anti-avoidance rules which will prevent a distribution from being exempt under any class. These rules apply to schemes in the nature of loan relationships, schemes involving distributions for which deductions are given, and schemes involving payments for distributions. A scheme includes any scheme, arrangement or understanding of any kind whatever, whether or not legally enforceable, and can involve a single transaction or two or more transactions. A tax advantage scheme means a scheme the main purpose or one of the main purposes of which is to obtain a tax advantage. Tax advantage has the meaning given by section 1139 of CTA 2010. A company can make an election that a particular distribution that would otherwise be an exempt distribution shall instead be taxable. A company may elect for one or more dividends paid in an accounting period not to be exempt. We will now look at how we calculate the double tax relief for overseas dividend received by a UK resident company that is not exempt. In calculating the income, we show the dividend gross of all taxes suffered. Dividends received may have suffered withholding tax. Withholding tax is always recoverable, subject to the limits for credit relief. In addition, as the dividends are paid out of post-tax profits, the dividend will also have suffered what is called underlying tax. Relief for withholding tax is always available. However, relief for underlying tax can only be claimable when a company holds, directly or indirectly, 10% of the voting power of the company paying the dividend. Share capital is a general guide to this, or is a subsidiary of such company. Let's see how this works by looking at an illustration. P Limited, a UK company, holds 7% of the share capital in S Limited, an overseas company. P also has a 75% subsidiary, F Limited, which holds 5% of S Limited. We can see that P does have the required 10% of S Limited, as it controls 7% directly and 5% indirectly via its shareholding in F Limited, giving a total shareholding of 12%. Notice we do not multiply through. P controls F, therefore P controls the 5% that F holds. As F is a subsidiary of a company which satisfies the 10% holding test, F can also claim relief for underlying tax. We will now look at how the underlying tax is calculated. The formula we use is to take the dividend paid, divided by the relevant profits, multiplied by the actual tax paid. The relevant profits are the profits of any period as shown as available for distribution in the company accounts. They are not the taxable profits. The accounts must be drawn up in accordance with the laws of the company's home state, making no provision for reserves, bad debts, or contingencies other than that required by the law. The dividend paid is the gross dividend before any withholding tax. The tax paid is the final foreign tax paid on the profits out of which the dividend is paid. Now that we have calculated the underlying tax, we are ready to see how we calculate the gross overseas income. However, before we do that, we must note that the legislation does provide a cap for underlying tax. It is basically the gross dividend we are about to calculate, multiplied by the company's rate of corporation tax for the period. To calculate the gross overseas income, we will run through an example. Virginia Limited, a UK company that pays tax at the full rate, receives a dividend from Agassiz Incorporated, an overseas company. Virginia Limited has a 20% shareholding in Agassiz Incorporated. The amount of the dividend received after withholding tax was £40,000. The withholding tax was £7,000. The accounts of Agassiz Incorporated, out of which the dividend was paid, show profits of £550,000 and tax of £130,000, giving distributable profits of £420,000. The dividend in total was £235,000, leaving retained profits of £185,000. The actual tax paid for the year was £125,000. The first step is to calculate the dividend. This is the amount received of £40,000 plus the withholding tax of £7,000 to give us £47,000. We can now calculate the underlying tax using the formula we saw previously. This is £47,000 divided by the distributable profits of £420,000 as shown in the accounts, multiplied by £125,000. Remember, we use the actual tax paid, not the tax as shown in the accounts. This gives us underlying tax of £13,988. The overseas income will be the dividend received of £40,000 plus the withholding tax of £7,000 to give us the gross dividend as before of £47,000. We then add the underlying tax of £13,988 to give total overseas income of £60,988. The total foreign tax suffered is the £7,000 of withholding tax plus the £13,988 of underlying tax, which gives a total of £20,988 of foreign tax suffered on the overseas income of £60,988. The next thing we need to do is look at how the underlying tax may be capped. The underlying tax available for relief is found by using the formula D plus PA multiplied by M, where D is the dividend received before any withholding tax is deducted, PA is the amount of underlying tax calculated under the basic rule, and M is the rate of UK corporation tax applicable to the profits of the receiving company in the accounting period in which the dividend is received, or the average rate where applicable. For Virginia Limited, the calculation is £47,000 plus £13,988 multiplied by 28%, giving us £17,077. This is the maximum underlying tax that could be claimed on the dividend from Virginia Limited. This exceeds the actual underlying tax of £13,988 that we calculated. Therefore, in this case, there will be no restriction on the underlying tax that can be claimed. However, total overseas tax suffered will exceed the UK tax bill on the dividend. Let us continue the illustration of Virginia Limited. Assuming that Virginia Limited has UK income of £2 million, we add to the UK income the overseas income of £60,988 and put this overseas income into its own column as before. This gives us TTP of £2,060,988. With a UK tax rate of 28%, this gives a total tax bill of £577,077, being £560,000 in respect of the UK income and £17,077 in respect of the overseas income. You will recall that the foreign tax suffered on the overseas income was £20,988. The double tax relief will be restricted to the lower of the UK tax bill, £17,077, and the overseas tax suffered, £20,988. So in this case, the double tax relief is £17,077. This gives a mainstream corporation tax bill of £560,000. We can see that Virginia Limited, in effect, has unused relief of £20,988 minus £17,077, which is £3,911. This concludes the session on taxation of dividends paid on or after the 1st of July 2009 and the double tax relief calculation.